end of January 2015 to another Adventures into Sovereignty show. I am joined by my beautiful co-host, Dr. Christina Winsey, and you have Rebecca Cope here, fresh from the mountains of North Georgia tonight. And our story tonight is going to include something that I learned while I was in North Georgia this past week. But before we get started, let's just say that the mission of Adventures into Sovereignty show is to educate people everywhere about and provide resources for the onslaught of corruption in any and all areas of their lives, legal, financial, political, environmental, and health. The human family today faces a serious fight for their own rights to be free and to live the way they choose to live, in peace and abundance for all. When people are informed with truth and transparency, and when they are armed with the resources they need to solve their own problems, they are empowered in profound ways. Our mission includes joining people all over the world to organize and hold accountable the corrupt courts, the corporate governments, banks, the individuals who run them, and their lackeys who have long caused tremendous lack, pain, and untold suffering upon the human family. You know, that's really what we exist to do. And I'm just so pleased to welcome my co-host, Dr. Christina Winsey, because we do have quite a show lined up, and Dr. Chris has been so busy working on the website and everything else this week. I'm really anxious to get an update, Christina. What has been going on this week?
Well, we have updated the website, and I'm hoping that people will start to look it over. Particularly, we have a breaking news section, which is one part of our blog. I've added a section for some of the posting I'm going to do on health and sovereignty and the issues facing us as far as things like vaccines and cancer and GMOs, and that's going to be a part of my blog. You have your own section on law and sovereignty, and there's just a lot of updates on the website, so it's got a new look and feel, and matching it is a new look and feel of our newsletter. So it's pretty exciting. We're really rocking and rolling.
We're really growing, aren't we?
Yeah.
It's really been an exciting year, and there is so much going on behind the scenes as we get ready to launch the International Tribunal for Natural Justice. There will be lots more coming out on this. We'll be introducing Sir John Walsh of Brana, who is the main judge who has just put his whole heart and energy into doing this. And next week, he's going to be telling us about the 800-year anniversary of Runnymede, the signing of the Magna Carta. We just have some really exciting information that we'll be sharing as we bring some of this material out in conjunction with what we're doing with the International Tribunal for Natural Justice this year. A lot going on behind the scenes.
Indeed. So tonight, we will be discussing the issue of the police state that we are living in, and highlighting a tragic case which absolutely has become what you had coined the phrase, the poster child, representing the insane police brutality, the militaristic type of state that we live in. They believe they're justified to commit these horrific acts and leave innocent people ravaged by their brutality. So it's not a pleasant topic, but we need people to understand what's really going on.
You know, that's the thing that just never ceases to amaze me. The fact that we live in this country, and this could go on in a little tiny rural area like where I'm from. And I'm kind of going to set the stage before we tell about this case, because I was just home for the funeral of my beloved sister-in-law this weekend. And I live in an area where most of us grew up in the same area. We went to the same schools. You know, we lived in that that area. Barbara and Bill lived in that area their whole lives. She was a school teacher, a librarian for the local school system, and she and her husband were just, you know, pillars of the community. But she had MS for the last 25 years and was literally wheelchair bound. And everybody just came in the community and took care of her. You know, it's really such a caring, beautiful place. There's only like 13,000 people in the county. And in the county next door, there's not very many more. There's about 43,000 because we have so much national forest land there. But in that county, while I was there for the week, we're just on our way home now from the funeral service, and I got hold of this change.org petition talking about Habersham County, Georgia. And the story was so preposterous that I absolutely did not want to believe it. Because here is a county in rural North Georgia, they didn't even have a single murder investigation in that whole county for the last year that they have any statistics up on the website. They didn't even have, you know, nothing of any serious consequences, like maybe 8 cases and maybe 84 that were, you know, larceny and some of those kinds of things. So to come up with a story like this, knowing some of the people who were involved, it was just so preposterous. I told Jerry that I was going to stop by and talk to the sheriff in that county as we were heading home to see what was really going on, because I wanted to know how that could possibly happen. And you'll understand as we begin to tell this story. But I didn't have to do that. There had been so many interviews on this story on 2020, on ABC, on MSNBC, that we're going to put up one of those clips as we begin to tell this story. But to think that the militarization of the police has gotten to the place where in little rural counties like in northern Georgia, that we would have this kind of police brutality that is serving as the poster child for the United States, it's so shocking to me that we've got to start asking ourselves more and more questions about what we are allowing to go on. And as we're putting the International Tribunal together, you know, it's going to become more obvious that people will start looking behind the scenes and start asking some of those questions themselves. It's really quite a story.
Well, and, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's a little rural town or a big city. This should not be going on. And you said it, people are going to, we have to begin to understand and ask, why are we allowing this to continue? Why is this happening? How can this possibly be? So that, you know, it's poignant that it's in this tiny little town where there's been no crime or very little crime, and it's shocking. But police brutality and militaristic police actions are shocking no matter where they are. So it's just
incredible. Yes. And it is, but to really just, you know, you think about crime in bigger cities, you're used to seeing things like that. But to have the police come in and throw a hand grenade in they busted into this couple's bedroom where they had their 4 children. On a situation where they didn't knock, they just busted in and threw a grenade that almost killed this little boy. And so to find something like that in my own back door, you know, that was just about more than I could handle almost. So let's just read this petition. I'll share my screen here and see if I can bring up the petition so that we can see that. Well, let's see. I am clicking my share screen, and my screen is not sharing, so I may not be able to get the petition up. Hold on just a minute.
You could read it, and if you can't get it on the screen, maybe you could read it to us. And
yep. There we go. Let me see. One more minute here. It should pop up because I want to show you the pictures. Okay, I am not going to be able to do that. So I will just simply read this petition that came in my box. There is a change.org group that puts these petitions together. And this one coming from Habersham Police, it said petitioning the Habersham County Police Department. Pay the $1 million medical bill from nearly killing my baby. At 2:30 a.m. on May the 28th of last year, that was 2013, heavily armed officers from the Habersham County Police Department broke down the door of our home without warning. They were looking for a suspect who didn't live there and didn't stop to check whether there were kids in the house, even though a minivan with car seats in it was parked right in the driveway. This was in a garage area where she was staying with her sister. Their house had burned down, and they had come down from Wisconsin to stay with her sister until they could get their own house together, you know, get their things together. They were staying in this little apartment there next to her sister's. As they burst into the home, I shared with my husband and four small children. One of them blindly threw a flashbang stun grenade into the dark. It landed next to my baby, Boo Boo, where he lay sleeping in his crib. When it exploded only inches away, it very nearly killed him. The grenade blew parts of Boo Boo's face almost completely off. It exposed the bones in his chest. He spent more than a month in the hospital recovering from injuries. For weeks, he was in a medically induced coma. We were terrified we would lose him. The injuries and scars on his face and chest may never heal. It is a miracle that Boo Boo is alive. We are eternally grateful to the doctors and nurses who kept our son alive, but the countless operations meant that by the time Boo Boo was able to come home, the cost of his medical treatments had risen to over $1 million. There's simply no way our family can possibly cover those costs. No one disputes that Habersham County Police broke down our door because of a single piece of false information they got from a known criminal. No one disputes they were in the completely wrong house. Nobody disputes that a police officer threw a flashbang grenade right next to my baby, which nearly killed him when it exploded. Yet the Habersham County Police Department refuses to do the responsible thing and pay for Boo Boo's medical care. Instead, they are hiding behind the claim that they would be giving us a gratuity, as though paying my baby's medical bills after nearly killing him would be like paying a tip. Their blatant refusal to accept responsibility for their reckless actions, not only disgusting, it is bankrupting my family. Please sign this petition to tell the Habersham County Police Department to do what is right and pay the more than $1 million in medical bills forced upon us when they nearly killed my baby. Can you believe that story?
It is just beyond belief. It's so tragic. And I don't think anybody can believe something like this could happen.
I mean, they literally burst into somebody's bedroom. They had like a no-knock warrant as we began to ask questions about this, questions that everybody really should be asking. They had gotten a no-knock warrant signed for a $50 marijuana type thing, you know, of absolutely nothing that should even consider a no-knock warrant to find somebody like this. You know, and they burst into absolutely the wrong house. The person who put this investigation together quit or was fired, I'm sure. But basically, the investigation says that she quit 4 or 5 days after this. And the judge who signed that no-knock warrant was retired early after this situation, but nobody else has had any responsibility. There was a grand jury investigation. But what people do not realize when these grand jury investigations take place is that evidence is withheld from the grand jury on purpose so that it is completely protecting the police department, the county, because the county, of course, does not want to have to pay this $1 million for their mistake. And so what happened is that the person that they were looking for was found in the house several, some distance, about a mile away, I think it said, and they were able just to knock on the door, and the guy came out and surrendered. There was no reason for this no-knock warrant under any circumstances, and so they've really questioned this. We've got an interview that we'll put up in just a few minutes to give you a little bit more about the details on this. But that is what the kind of situation that we're talking about, from the militarization of the police in these areas all across the United States now.
Well, and the cover-ups that happen so that it protects the police instead of the innocent victims. And you'll see in the video that this family had nothing to do with drugs. They didn't even know the drugs were being dealt. In fact, they were packed and ready to leave for Wisconsin. The parents were very concerned because they suspected there were strange things going on, but they didn't know what they were. They had nothing to do with drug dealing at all. So we need them to see this video so they understand a little bit more about it.
Yes, and so, Santi, why don't you just go ahead as we begin to talk a little bit more about the police brutality. Let's just let them tell their own story. Can we do that now? There we go.
Baby boy still fighting for survival in an Atlanta hospital's burn unit after a SWAT team's grenade blew up in his face. You know the story. You just heard it. The sheriff calls the incident a tragic accident. The boy's parents are demanding accountability, and they have a lot of community support, including Georgia State Senator, who's here with us now, Vincent Ford, and Attorney Mallory Davis. Good to have you both here.
Good to be here.
Thank you so much for being here.
What were the demands, Mr. Davis, in that meeting, if any, and what's to come next? Were you satisfied with the response of the Georgia Bureau of Investigations following that meeting?
Well, we were satisfied that GBI is now involved and engaged. Unfortunately, as the senator mentioned, it took over a week to get them engaged.
But you got it done.
We did, yes. With the outcry, with the support of the community, with the organizers involved. That public pressure made it such that they could not turn a blind eye anymore to what happened to Boo.
As well they shouldn't. And what about the U.S. Attorney's Office, State Senator? Are they involved in this?
Yes.
And what are they doing?
The U.S. Attorney's Office has talked to the GBI. We had a pretty thorough meeting with the U.S. Attorney, Sally Yates, yesterday. And we think at this point the U.S. Attorney is sensitized to making sure that there's an investigation that lets the chips fall where they may. And, the thing that we're concerned about, because of the sheriff's statements,
yes.
The sheriff's made some outrageous statements.
We've heard.
And, we're gratified at this point that the GBI and the U.S. Attorney with the FBI is going to do a thorough investigation.
Can I follow up with you, Mr. Davis, on the statements? There's been allegations that drug dealing was going on in that home. Could you address that? Was
Absolutely.
There drug dealing? Was, the family on notice of that, please?
The family, the four children, their mother and their father, had no dealings at all with drugs, at all.
At all.
They, in fact, were burned out of their house in Wisconsin. They moved here because of that tragedy. They began to fear that there was something that was amiss, mm-hmm. And so they decided that they were leaving the very next day. They had already rented a U-Haul to leave on that Thursday morning. The night that they busted, that early morning hours when they busted in, and so they were very clear. These parents love their children. They didn't have anything to do with the drugs or anything that they say.
So that unequivocally is not the case.
That is correct. They had nothing to do
with
drugs.
Thanks for clearing that up.
We're back with Georgia State Senator Vincent Ford and Attorney Mallory Davis. want to talk about the family of the little boy, because on our Facebook page, there is a discussion about if they knew what was going on in the house and what, if anything, was going on inside. I want to pose that to the attorney here. As I understand, their home burned down in Wisconsin, and they were getting ready to move the next day.
They were trying to move out of that house. They began to see a level of activity that concerned them. They have three beautiful little daughters, and so they just wanted to make sure that they were safe. And their intentions were, I mean, literally, they had a U-Haul reserved, everything, right before this happened.
So it's not like they knew that drug dealings or something was going on in the home and decided to stay anyway.
They thought something was wrong, they decided that they needed to try and move as quickly as possible. I think the other thing people should understand is that this is a family. They don't have a lot of means. So how we might be able to just pick up and move the drop of a hat, they were trying to pull those resources together with four kids.
If I could ask you, Mr. Davis, before I get to the state senator on legislative issues, you were kind enough to show us some pictures. This picture is of a minivan, and this picture of a minivan, I just want you to give us an indication of what that tells you about that home.
That minivan was parked right in front of that very door the night that they entered that door and threw a bomb in. And so how would you, with just using basic common sense, think that a minivan is associated with families? Mm-hmm. Why would you just throw a bomb in like that?
And on the issue of the bomb, this is a picture you were kind enough to share with us, Mr. Davis, that is of the crib. And there's been some discussion that the crib was blocking the door. Is that true? Was the crib blocking the door or away from the door?
Complete fabrication. If you look at the photograph closely, it is right next to the bed as any mother would have their toddler. Mm-hmm. No one would have their child
up against the door.
6 or 7 feet away, never.
I understand this was over a $50 methamphetamine drug deal. That, to me, I could see if someone's life was at risk here, they had to move in fast and they had to do it in the middle of the night. I think that's why so many people are curious as to why this middle of the night raid went down.
Well, we're very curious. It doesn't pass the smell test. Something doesn't make sense. But, to go in with a grenade because of a $50 drug buy doesn't make sense. And that's why it's important to get the FBI and GBI involved in this. But something doesn't come together using that kind of, it was really a military operation. It doesn't make sense
and
to me.
And State Senator, briefly, we only have a couple of seconds left, but what do you expect legislatively or in the final analysis, what do you expect the end result to be here?
Well, in 2007, I introduced a no-knock warrant bill to define and provide criteria for issuances of no-knock warrants. We did that in 2007 after the Katherine Johnston murder in Atlanta. We plan on doing it again. It was a bipartisan bill back then. We intend for it to be a bipartisan bill this time and try even harder to get it passed.
Thank you so much, Senator. Thank you so much, Mr. Davis, for being here. Let's just hope for justice in this case and investigation wherever it leads, Susan.
And I know you give that little boy's family some hope for fighting for this. Appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you all so much.
Okay. Thank you, Santi. And what happened here is, as I got this petition and looked at it, 175,000 people have already signed this petition, and what they're asking for is that the people themselves have to step up and ask to hold this Habersham County responsible for helping to pay for this child's medical bills, because they've refused to do it. And we have on the table the issue of state immunity. And as we've been talking about this over the last year, we've been talking about these are corporations posing as governments. And I know people aren't wanting to believe that this is really true, but as we're posting more and more material, both on the Adventures into Sovereignty site and to the International Tribunal for Natural Justice site that we're working on, you are going to see in ways that it's just not going to be possible for you to argue with, that we are indeed dealing with private corporations owned by private families with shareholders who make money off of this police brutality. This is a big part of what's going on behind the scenes, and these people who are covering up the crimes that they're committing by doing something like this to a family are nothing more than corporations like a Walmart or a McDonald's. How on earth are these people getting away with it? Why are we letting them get away with it? And what can we, the people, do to take away this immunity that lets these people get away with these horrible, horrible, botched jobs like this and not ever suffer the consequences? Because not one single person has been fired in this sheriff's department in Habersham County, Georgia. Not one single person has really admitted culpability in it. They just say, oh, well, we made a mistake, so what? You know, why are we willing to allow something like this in our country to take place? Those are the questions that we really have to start asking ourselves as we take a real hard look at somebody busting into a bedroom over a $50 methamphetamine thing and going to the wrong house and botching it this badly and then not having any consequences for their actions.
I can't imagine how could these police officers even live with themselves. I can't imagine the kinds of people that could allow this cover-up to go on. It's just, this is why we're doing this show. This is not just this show tonight. But this is why Adventures into Sovereignty exists and other groups and the ITNJ, the International Tribunal of Natural Justice. We as a people all around the world absolutely have to stand up together, raise our voices, raise our documents, do whatever we have to do to change what has been going on. It is not acceptable. And I don't know what's going to shake people out of their complacency. I recently had posted, it was about a month ago, I had posted on Facebook about the way that cancer research is skewed and how real solutions to cancer, natural solutions, things that have nothing to do with chemo and radiation, have been maligned and are being touted as, you know, snake oil type things. And someone actually had a post on a comment that said, I think you are jaded and I never want to be so jaded as to believe that people would cover up a real cure for cancer. And I just couldn't believe, and I said, what if I gave you this? I cited a movie that he could watch, a documentary. I cited things. He said, no, thanks. He wasn't interested in learning the truth.
Yeah.
Well, you know, hello?
I've had people say to me, we have to trust our government. We have to, we're brainwashed to trust and obey. And it is partly an issue. You know, when you live in a small community like this, you can watch how this happens. And part of it is through our religions when they are used as propaganda machines, when a lot of this material comes in the back door through the churches because they have been compromise at the top and utilized to help spread this material. And then they talked about the grand jury investigation that took place in this county and said, well, gosh, the people who were on the grand jury, first of all, they didn't get all of the information. But second of all, the biggest problem, you know, the prosecutor who brings the case is allowed to skew this material and literally get away with anything they want to because our grand juries are no longer set up the way the Constitution had them set up. And this is one of the things that we're really working on. As we put the International Tribunal together, we're bringing the grand jury back the way it's supposed to be, because the grand jury is a separate arm. It was never meant to be under the control of the judiciary. You have to have peers from your own community who look at this evidence and examine it and are allowed to ask questions. whatever they want to ask to make sure that they have the full understanding. Because anybody who looked at all of this evidence and who was able to not bring a conviction is enabling this police brutality to exist. And the fact that this grand jury was so skewed that they did not return a verdict against these people, well, it just purely shows you how there is collusion throughout the whole system. And so we have to be able and willing to look at this. And the other case that this senator was talking about was an elderly woman who was shot in her own home, in her own bed, in a mistaken deal that went down like this, a no-knock warrant, when they went in looking for somebody that they thought was in her house that she didn't have anything to do with. I mean, another just real tragic case where they just come in shooting. And this is when they try to change the legislation in Georgia. Georgia's getting quite a reputation for it, but not by any means by themselves. But we're really looking at the whole situation of our willingness to enable this to go on by not asking the right questions here.
Absolutely.
I mean, I just agree. You know, it's just impossible to believe that people can't really start asking a whole lot of questions when something like this goes down.
Yeah, exactly. And I had done some research before the show about something that I had never heard of before. It's called testilying. Instead of testifying, it's testilying. And this is apparently a common police term that the public does not know about. Police perjury or testilying, United States police slang, is the act of a police officer giving false testimony. It is typically used in a criminal trial to, quote, make the case against a defendant who the police believe to be guilty. They don't know he's guilty or she. When minor irregularities during the suspect's arrest or search threaten to result in acquittal on a technicality, it has broader meanings. It also can be extended further to encompass substantive misstatements of fact for the purpose of convicting those whom the police believe to be guilty, or even to include statements to frame an innocent citizen. More generically, it has been said to be, quote, lying under oath, especially by a police officer, to help get a conviction.
Oh, I know. Testifying. I mean, if we can't understand that we are enablers when we allow this kind of thing to happen in our courts and we continue to let people get away with this, you know, it's our responsibility to be the ones who have to have rule of law in our country. And when we can see beyond any shadow of doubt that the rule of law has been suspended by our own police and court officers, and hey, people, we've got some real problems in this country. But testifying, gosh, you really picked up some very interesting cases and other information that you were looking up as we started talking about this police brutality. Why don't you bring up some more of the really pithy comments that you found on that, Christina?
Yeah, what I want to do is mention some of the cases that I found. There were they were listed as the most notable cases, and then I also found that there was another entire list of 156 more. So there were 90 notable cases and 156 more on this was Wikipedia. And California, there were 18 in California of the most notable. There were 10 of the most notable in New York City. And Philadelphia topped them all with 21 of the most notable. But, for instance, March 3, 1991, very famous Rodney King's arrest and beating by officers of the LAPD was videotaped by a bystander. Four law enforcement officers, Stacy Kuhn, Lawrence Powell, Timothy Wind, and Theodore Brezano, were charged locally with assault and other charges of which they were acquitted, leading to the 1992 Los Angeles riots. King accepted a $3.8 million settlement in his civil lawsuit against the city, while the officers were later charged in federal court of violating King's civil rights. Two of them were convicted. At times, they do get convicted. I'll just read a few more cases because I think, you know, I certainly can't read all of them, but I think people need to know some of these cases. July 6, 2002, video footage taken by a tourist showing 16-year-old Donovan Jackson being beaten by officers from the Inglewood Police Department in the video. Officer Jeremy Morse is seen repeatedly punching Jackson and then picking him up and slamming him down on the back of a police car. To date, legal settlements have cost the city of Inglewood over $3 million. Officer Morse was terminated from the force and charged with assault, but the charges against him were dropped after two trials ended with hung juries. His partner, Officer Bijan Darvish, was suspended and charged with filing a false police report, but was acquitted by a jury. Then there is April 2008. 16-year-old Juan Vasquez ran from members of the Denver Police Department and hopped several fences. An officer shouted for him to stop or he would shoot him in the back. The officer then threw his flashlight, hitting Vasquez with such force that it shattered on impact. When Vasquez fell in the alley, the officer jumped on his back and sat there while the officers punched and kicked him as he begged them to stop. Two of the arresting officers testified that Officer Charles Porter began jumping up and down on the teen's back while he was handcuffed and lying face down on the ground. Vasquez, who is 5'6" and 130 pounds, was hospitalized with a lacerated liver, a ruptured spleen, damage to both kidneys, and bruised or fractured ribs. He filed a lawsuit for $1.3 million, and the city settled for just under $1 million. Georgia, November 21st, 2006, Katherine Johnson, a 92-year-old Atlanta woman, was shot and killed by police officers who had entered her home with a no-knock warrant. I think this is the one you were mentioning, Rebecca.
Yes, this is the one, yes.
That had been based on false information. She had fired one shot over the heads of the police, who she assumed were intruders, when they knocked down her door. Those responsible later admitted to planting marijuana in Johnston's house and submitting cocaine into evidence, lying that it had been brought there. Two of the three officers involved would eventually plead guilty to charges, including manslaughter. The three were sentenced to 5, 6, and 10 years in prison. Oh, my goodness. Do you want me to go on, or should I just...
I tell you what, yeah, this is the kind of situation that we're talking about here. And... I mean, to have a situation where a no-knock warrant is even allowed in the United States of America. Now, most people are not aware that these people who are posing as our governments, who have caused this kind of havoc all across the world, you know, all kinds of things like this happened routinely with our military in Iraq or Afghanistan or other places we have had information surface. And to have something like this go on in the United States of America with our own police force should be a major wake-up call to everybody in this country. Because it's the Nuremberg protocols, you know, the profiling and the kinds of things that are going on. It's a police force run amok that we are really talking about here. I mean, can you imagine somebody coming in an average everyday home in a neighborhood like yours or mine and busting your door down with no provocation? What on earth would you do in the middle of the night? If somebody did this, you know, you're going to be shocked out of your mind that somebody would break into your house like this. And if so many people, you know, do have their weapons nearby, you know, they would be shot for trying to take a crack at whoever was breaking in. And this is exactly what happened to this 92-year-old woman in her bed, for Pete's sakes. So it's like, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow. And to see a story, you know, just to see a story like this poor little 18-month-old child where a grenade was launched in that room without anybody knowing who was in it. They did not knock on the door. They didn't ask. And the funny thing is, what was withheld from the grand jury was that they went two or three doors, wherever it was in this neighborhood in Little Cornelia, Georgia, went into the neighborhood where they found out that this guy really was and knocked on the door and took him into custody. They didn't have to go through the no-knock warrant.
I mean, it's unbelievable. And, you know, we have so much going on, moms against Monsanto for the GMOs. We have so many things that people are organizing around. But this issue is, wow. I mean, this case just so brings it home that if we're going to protect our families, we need to be addressing this issue. This is really serious.
It is serious. And when we realize that we have the police brutality, that it actually is worse in many ways than what they experienced in Germany during World War II, that we literally fought a world war over because a march of these types of, you know, they were called brown shirts, and they just follow orders without ever questioning. And when somebody like this sheriff, this elected sheriff in Habersham County, upholds this kind of brutality and eggs his people on, then he needs to be held accountable. And everybody in that little county, you know, needs to admit their culpability in this and be willing to do something to help the medical bills. And, you know, it's like they're all just passing the buck. And finally, the GBI and everybody else is getting involved in the investigation. But when they're all the you know, fox watching the hen house, it doesn't seem to be making a difference. So the only thing that is going to be making a difference is if enough people start waking up and stop enabling this kind of action. Well, which is exactly. Okay.
Well, what I was going to say is, you know, one of the things that helped get Obama elected was the online promotions that he did. And we have the capability now to go around the world, around the country, whatever we need to do to make people aware. And so that is why we're doing this show. But everybody needs to speak up. You know, I think there are people out there who are afraid to address these issues. They're afraid to let people know that they actually know that this is going on, to let people know that we have a corporate government and it's corrupt, and that taxes are really not – we are not legally required to pay taxes, and all of the things that we have talked about on this show that you have cataloged – with actual laws back from the Civil War all the way up through today, as to actual laws that have proven what we're dealing with today, why we're dealing with it. Okay, it's undeniable, all the things that you have cataloged on this on recent shows, and you know, ever since this show started. And you're not the only one. I mean, there are loads of websites out there that are talking about this, but there need to be so many people spreading word and not afraid to talk about it, not afraid to post these very, very urgent issues. And that's how we're going to make a groundswell, because they won't be able to shut us up. You know, they.
And one of the things we talked about last week is how much these attorneys are finally getting on the bandwagon to start holding these people, like in the municipalities and the places where they're trying to get away with almost murder here and not take responsibility for it. Here, Boo Boo's family has major lawyer firms working with them nonstop to find ways to really bring this case before the public in a very big way. And they have helped organize this change.org petition that's going around. And that petition, you know, that immediately caught my attention because here it was in my own back door. And so I really just had to get on the internet and start doing the research myself because I wanted to tell you, Christina, I didn't want to believe it. I did not want to believe that something like that could go on in my own, you know, in my beloved state next door to me, that something like that could really go on. And when I found so much material on that, then I realized that some of the lawyers and some of the people are trying to help this family hold the law enforcement people accountable. So I was really glad to see that. We talked about the situation with Rod's people that he's working with in another state and how the lawyers are coming out to help them because of the level of corruption. And as we bring this first case before the tribunal, we're going to be able to have all of these details. I mean, the details, the black ink on white paper that we're going to be able to bring out as far as the evidence of the sheer corruption in the courts that we witnessed in Washington, D.C., the people aren't going to be able to step away and say, oh, that didn't really happen. You know, all I had to do was just to get on the internet and start searching because I really just wanted to go interview that sheriff because I didn't want to believe that had happened. And I had to face the fact in no uncertain terms that it not only happened, it was far more horrifying than even the petition led me to believe when I was able to see the full story.
When you see the full story, folks, it's unreal what they did to the parents while the baby is suffering, the 911 call that, you know, the ambulance hadn't arrived, the mother's desperate to see her baby, they won't let her, they're telling them to sit down and shut up or they'll go to jail, and they're just being brutal to this poor family. And there's this little baby whose face and chest have been blown off. Not only should they have their medical bills paid, but I believe that the Habersham City or whatever county should be paying them huge damages because that kid is going to need surgeries throughout his life. She says that at night he screams in pain. They're afraid to go to bed because he holds his face and screams in pain. I mean, there's not enough money in the world to help this family and this poor child after all this. So it's, way more than medical bills. But and it just really brings home what we have to do in this country. There are some things I found that I wanted to bring up that have to do with laws or motions that people can make to force the courts to come clean on things that the testifying and on government witnesses and things. Now, you know, considering Rod Class's case and all the cases that you've talked about on this show and that we know about, whether or not they'll uphold these laws and these motions and these rules is a whole nother kettle of fish. But yeah, as far as remedies, and you know, I'll be putting a synopsis of this on the Adventures into Sovereignty website for people in the blog. But there's something in California called the Pritchess Motion. A Pritchess Motion is a request made by the defense in a California criminal case such as a DUI or resisting arrest to assess a law enforcement officer's personnel information. When the defendant alleges in an affidavit that the officer used excessive force or lied about the events surrounding the defendant's arrest, the information provided will include prior incidents of use of force, allegations of excessive force, citizen complaints, and information gathered during the officer's pre-employment background investigation. And the motion's name comes from the case Pritchess versus Superior Court, and this is a California motion. Then there's the Brady disclosure. The term comes from the U.S. Supreme Court case Brady versus Maryland, in which the Supreme Court ruled that suppression by the prosecution of evidence favorable to a defendant who has requested it violates due process. Brady disclosure consists of exculpatory or impeaching information and evidence that is material to the guilt or innocence or to the punishment of a defendant. And it goes on, and I will post that on the website as well. And finally, there is the Jenks Act, 18 U.S.C. 3500, provides that the government prosecutor is required to produce a verbatim statement or report made by a government witness or prospective government witness other than the defendant, but only after the witness has testified. Jenks material is evidence that is used in the course of a federal criminal prosecution in the United States. It usually consists of documents relied upon by government witnesses who testify at trial. The material is described as inculpatory, favoring the United States government's prosecution of a criminal defendant. It covers other documents related to the testimony or relied upon by government witnesses at trial. So basically, these things have to be revealed. These are laws or motions or rules that have to that are put in place to help enforce the prosecutor revealing the actual truth. And I think we just lost Rebecca, and I'm not sure if she's going to be able to get back on. So we are almost out of time. I guess to wrap it up, she must have lost internet where she's parked. To wrap it up, you know, I just want to say that the things that we've been discussing tonight, if it's touched your heart, if it's touched your soul, if it has woken you up, if you're new to Adventures into Sovereignty, if you're someone who does not want to believe that these kinds of things are going on in the country that you live in, for our country, America, they really are. And we all really need to do something about it. And so I invite you to continue to read our blog, to get involved, and please, please, we are going to be putting up a link to sign the petition for Baby Boo Boo and his medical bills. I pray for this family that we have vindication and that the medical bills are not, it's not just the medical bills that are paid, but that the culpability of the police department is brought very public and that we have prosecution of these people who allowed this to happen and that the family receive compensation for the immense damages that have been done to them. They will never, ever be the same, and certainly Baby Boo Boo will never be the same. So we beg you to sign their petition and stay aware of this case and other cases, and make your voices heard. So for Adventures into Sovereignty, January 30th, 2015, this is Dr. Chris Winsey on behalf of myself and Rebecca Cope. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next week when we will be bringing on Sir John regarding the history of the Magna Carta, which is incredibly pertinent and important. And there's Rebecca. Rebecca, I was just signing off. But I'm glad you're back.
Yes, I just completely dropped it there. I am, everybody has to understand, I am on my way back home from this funeral in traveling shoes. And traveling shoes is our motor home that we travel in and live in while we're in the Florida area. And I just all of a sudden lost my signal. I used the, like a MiFi connection that's usually quite good, and all of a sudden it just went boop. So sorry about that. Where did we get to?
Well, I was just beseeching people to stay informed, to read our blogs, to sign the petition, which we're going to be posting a link to on the blog, and just really asking people to get involved, to be aware of what's really going on in our country. And so I was kind of signing off on our behalf. I let them know that Sir John will be on next week, and we'll be talking about the Magna Carta and why that's important to them, the history of the Magna Carta. And so take it away for your farewell to everybody.
Okay, well, and I'll just have to mention, you know, history sometimes can be sort of a boring subject for people, but as we begin to realize what went on 100 years ago that's really led us to the place where we are now, then it behooves us to pay a whole lot more attention to what's going on and become involved, because order followers who do these types of things without questioning what they're doing, somebody who would go into this house and just throw a grenade and injure a child, you know, I have to think that that officer was injured themselves when they had to deal with the horror of what they had done. And I believe that for another reason, because they picked that child up and would not allow it to be comforted by its mother. They saw what they had done. They kidnapped that child, rushed it in by ambulance instead of allowing that mother to even see what had been done. Don't tell me those people don't live with the horror of what they did. An order follower is just as guilty as the person who gives the order. And so there's a lot that has to be said, and as part of what we're doing here is helping to remind those people who are in law enforcement, those people who sit on the bench, those people who are the prosecutors and everybody else, that you are just as culpable in these situations when you are denying the rule of law. And the biggest thing is that more and more people are beginning to wake up and realize what's going on. And we're going to do our best through this show and through our websites and through other things that we are doing to say no more. You know, it's enough that we're seeing what's going on here. And we're going to do our best to be responsible citizens who do believe in the rule of law. You know, that's the most important difference to me, that the rule of law is sacred. There is, so it's so simple. The biggest important rule that we all go by under natural justice is do no harm. And when you purposely harm an 18-month-old child who is absolutely defenseless, and the parents and those other three children had nothing to do, and you run in that house and you pin that man down, not knowing or caring who he is, and just doing things like that without any justification, then you should be held accountable. And so that is a big part of this. And we who are the enablers by our silence should be signing these petitions and helping get this word out in many, many ways. So we do encourage you to go on the website and to really look at this. We wanted to bring the family spokesman on, but we were not able, as I was so involved in being there for my family this week, we weren't able to get the people to respond to us in time, but we will bring further updates as we learn more about this case. There's yes. more things. Yeah, go
let
ahead.
I just want to let people know that the link to the petition will be up on our site as soon as I can get it up there. So please check back. I don't have it up there right now, but I will. It'll be under breaking news, and they'll be able to link right to the petition and get it signed. So please spread the word, share it on Facebook, share it anywhere you can.
Yes, and there is another, the website, Justice for Baby Boo Boo, which has all of the links and all of this other information. And we'll put some more about police brutality that we're dealing with, because it is a rampant situation that we are dealing with. And as we, you know, start looking at why we can do things like setting up an international tribunal to begin to hold these international corporations that are really connected with a banking corporation who are really running the government. It's not the people's government at all. And this is one of the main things that we want people to begin to understand. This is just one very small way of being able to put this material out there. And yes, it does look like we're about at the end of our show this week. It was quite interesting to have to deal with this from my own little county, you know, as I was on my way home and getting all of this information. So thank you, Christina, for your research that added a lot to the information that we brought tonight. And we hope that everybody will visit the website and do this petition.
Yes, and can you say the website for Baby Boo Boo again? Although we'll have a link on our website, I want you to repeat that.
Okay, it is called Justice for Baby Boo Boo, B-O-U-B-O-U.
So that has the petition as well, right?
Yeah, that okay. Has the,
Okay.
It has the petition. A lot of people... change.org is the other one. You can just simply type Habersham County Police and you'll be able to get that on change.org. This is just a group that has put together a lot of petitions that do a lot to help educate us on these types of things. You can put that on your Facebook page. There are many ways that we can help get word like this out, and that's really the purpose of getting the petition on.
Terrific. Well, thank you for a wonderful show, Rebecca. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and we will see you next week on Adventures into Sovereignty.